So I'm going to give a brief introduction for all of them. I will note that we have three previously announced candidates who are not with us. Max Myers from Mechanicsburg, he's a minister, was unable to attend. Ed Pawlowski, the mayor of Allentown, withdrew from the race yesterday, so he's not with us. Rob McCord, the state treasurer, was unable to be here because he is required to attend the governor's budget address, which is today, and that's sort of an unfortunate coincidence in timing. So he is unable to be with us. But we have with us, and I'll go from my this is my left, your right, down the way. John Hanger, he was secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection under Governor Ed Rendell. He's also a former commissioner of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission, currently special counsel for Eckert Siemens, a law firm headquartered in Pittsburgh. John, welcome. Next to him, Joellen Litz, serving her fourth term as a Lebanon County commissioner. She has served as president and chair of the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania. She also owns a small business, is a conservationist who's served for 25 years as president of the Swatara Watershed Association. Next to Ms. Litz is Katie McGinty. She also served as a secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection under Ed Rendell. Before that, she was an advisor to Vice President Al Gore and an environmental advisor to President Bill Clinton. Most recently, she was a senior vice president and managing director at Weston Solutions, an environmental redevelopment and specialty construction firm. She's from Wayne County in Delaware County. Welcome, Ms. McGinty. And Allison Swartz, serving her fifth term in Congress in the 13th Congressional District, serving parts of Philadelphia and Montgomery counties. Earlier in her career, she ran the Elizabeth Blackwell Clinic in Philadelphia before being elected to the Pennsylvania State Senate, where she served 14 years. Welcome, Congresswoman. And finally, at the end, Tom Wolf, a York County businessman, also former secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue under Governor Ed Rendell. He has served on numerous economic development and education commissions under Governors Casey and Rendell. And I will just say that as we proceed through the event, I'm going to drop the titles and we'll simply refer to our candidates by first and last name. But please join me in welcoming our candidates. And Craig will start us with the first question.
Okay. So last year, the legislature passed and the governor signed an initiative called Innovate PA, which allows insurance companies to purchase tax credits from the state. The program is expected to generate $85 million for early stage tech investments. That follows other programs aimed at making Pennsylvania a hub of innovation. Should the state be even more active in attracting and retaining innovative companies and industries? If so, what specific policies would you pursue as governor? And we'll start with you, John Hanger.
The answer is yes. And what is striking about Governor Corbett is when he first came into office in 2011, he actually took the budget acts to the Ben Franklin Partnerships and other programs that go really all the way back to the Thornburg administration that are designed to, in fact, support innovation and early stage manufacturing. This governor has a jobs record that is a disaster, and it's rooted in his conservative policies that have proven to be toxic for job creation. We've gone from creating 87,000 jobs in the last year of the Rendell administration to 18,000 in the third year of the Corbett administration. I have a jobs plan at hangerforgovernor.com. It would create 382,000 jobs, and included in that jobs plan is a proposal to essentially mimic the Ohio Future Frontier program that has proven successful in creating significant new manufacturing jobs in early stage companies. I proposed $30 million for that program in my jobs plan. In addition to that, we have a great opportunity in Pennsylvania to bring businesses here because we actually have affordable energy. And we need to do more to leverage our energy resources in a way that creates clean, new business opportunities here.
Join us.
Thank you. My experience in dealing with technology comes from personal experience. I created a website and have set up my social media, and I find it very interesting, and I love learning. And along those lines, as a county commissioner, when I first came into office, there was one computer shared by like seven people in the office, and it was not Windows-based. It was really something, so I had to push to get everybody a computer. So yes, do I support technology? Absolutely. And at the county commissioner's level, at the statewide, we have a very innovative plan where they've partnered with Microsoft, Google, the big companies. And what we find is that we're able to now create a database where we can share between the district attorney and the judges and all of those people that need to know about people who might be picked up and in the system. So the bottom line is, there's so much we can do. We need to be innovative. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. At the state, there's a lot of places we can improve our technology, and I think that I would love to make it public-private partnership and go that route. Thank you.
Thank you. Kidding me?
Well, thank you. I think innovation is one of the key areas where we can rebrand Pennsylvania and not just be a state where we celebrate the country's history, but where we invent the future. I think few Pennsylvanians know that we are just about the leading state in the country in the number of PhDs that we produce, in the research grants that we compete for and win, and in the patents that were issued. But where do we fall short? We fall short after those bright people graduate, off they go to Boston, Austin, or San Jose. We need to turn that around, and I think there are a couple of key things we can and should do. As John Hanger said, let's mobilize some dollars and cents to back up private equity and venture investments in that research to translate the research into new businesses. Second, I've proposed a series of tax incentives so that if you're willing to invest in one of our great businesses, that investment will be tax-free to you. Let new businesses take hold and take off in Pennsylvania. But third, government needs to be a partner. One story, quick. Axion is an advanced battery company. When I was secretary, we successfully brought it from Canada to Pennsylvania. How and why? Because we stepped up and introduced this fledgling new company to a big established battery company and gave credibility to that technology, enabling it to take off.
Allison Schwartz.
Thank you. Pennsylvania has an enormous opportunity in terms of the high tech, particularly building on life sciences. It is definitely the job of the governor to make sure that we are promoting high tech companies to grow here, to stay here, to expand here. And we are already, you may know, seventh nationally in high tech employment. I'm not sure we think about ourselves that way. We should. It is really, very important what we do in terms of promoting innovative industries. The great science research that is done in life sciences, which I know well, leads to biotech companies that get bought out by pharma. These are not only important industries, but they are also leading to some of the cures that are so important to all of us. I was part of creating the biotech greenhouses under Governor Ridge. We have one here in Philadelphia, there's one in Pittsburgh, there's one in Harrisburg, that promotes and helps to get dollars to our high-tech industries, help them be great businesses. So what the governor has to do is to help these companies move from ideas to actual companies, which is really what we can do with some of our great universities. So what it would do is to also make sure that we help incentivize that venture capital, which that early stage capital is very, very important. And we've done that through the Benjamin Franklin Partnership. I've always supported them, would do that again. But I would go even a step further. I would create a governor's prize for innovation to get to one company every year that has created a new product, a new idea off of a patent, and give them real dollars and create a competition for the very best and brightest to not only stay here and create ideas, but to turn them into products and businesses that can grow and stay in Pennsylvania.
Okay, the question was really on what role does government have to play in fostering innovation in a new economy. And I think government does have a very important role to play at the margins in making the free market work better. But the focus should be on making the economy work better, working at the margins, should make society work better, and should be devoted to those kinds of things rather than rewarding or giving preferential treatment to friends. And I think that's the distinction that, I think we need to, draw as Democrats. If you're making the economy better, the foundational things have to be education, focused on the basic pre-K through 12th grade education. No applause, please. And but it also should be looking at, as a couple of people said, in monetizing some of the assets, the intellectual capital coming out of our universities. And I have a plan, my manufacturing jobs plan, I think, talks about this. We need to level the playing field so that, we actually have a tax system. We actually have regulations and rules of the game that, actually create a level playing field for all participants in the market rather than just a preference to few. And we need to invest in infrastructure, not just fixing the roads and bridges, but doing things that will actually make Pennsylvania better, more attractive for businesses. So again, government does have a role to play. It ought to work at the margins of the market, and it ought to be doing things like tax credits, even grants, to make it work better for society, to make Pennsylvania the kind of place we want it to be. But it should not be choosing these things on the basis of who we know and, who has contacts and connections. Thank you.
Thank you. It's time for our first on-the-spot question, and for that we're going to come right back to you, Tom Wolf. It's a convention of modern campaigns that candidates release their tax returns so that people can understand something about their personal finances. I want to ask you specifically about your family business, which is an important part of your personal narrative and an important qualification in your campaign materials. The fact that you retooled and kept the jobs in Pennsylvania, that you provide health care for your employees and share 20 to 30% of the profits with the employees. And so my question is, are you prepared to share with the media tax returns or other documentation that will independently confirm these important details about the business?
Yes, and thank you so much for giving my campaign pitch on the 20 to 30%. I appreciate that. Yes, absolutely.
That's it? Okay, swell. We'll move right along. And but just to follow up, what are you going to show us? What'll tell the story? I checked the SEC. I don't know if you file.
No, we're a private
it's
company.
Privately held, right?
But I'll share whatever people like you want me to share. My personal tax returns, the company information. By the way, one of the things you get with a 20 to 30% sharing of the net profit is, in many ways, you act like a publicly traded firm because we have to share, and we do willingly on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, financial results with all of our employees because we have to make sure that they understand where we are, and those figures have to make sense. So okay. I'll be happy to share whatever anybody wants to see. That's been my practice throughout my business career.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Next question for Craig.
All right. Question for you. Privatizing the state's wine and spirit stores is an issue that won't go away anytime soon. Previous efforts have failed, but there's word now that the governor and legislative leaders are planning a new effort in 2014. Where do you stand on liquor privatization? If you're against it, how do you justify being only one of two states, the other being Utah, to control alcohol so tightly? If you're for it, how would you recommend moving forward on dismantling a system that's been in place since the repeal of prohibition? And with this, we'll start with Joanne Litz.
Yes, I do not think that we should sell the state stores. I'm quite comfortable that our state system can be improved. There's always room for improvement, and I would look for innovative ways to do that. If a private company can do it, there's no reason the government can't. As a county commissioner, part of our duty is to treat drug and alcohol addiction. And I think that this is one way that we have more of a handle on who is purchasing the wines and spirits. And it's another way that we can keep it from getting into the wrong hands, the young people who should not be drinking it to begin with. I think that the controls are there and it's a way to move forward.
Thank you. Yes, this is a perennial issue, but I think the first question for anyone who would propose to privatize the liquor stores is where are you going to get the $500 million in income that those liquor stores deliver to the general fund, and what would you propose to cut to make up for that difference? To me, when you look at it that way, it's clear that privatization would hurt working families because good programs would otherwise suffer. What I would do is to step forward to modernize our liquor stores, to make it so that it is a more convenient experience for the customer, that we expand retail operations, expand the hours of operation. For example, the numbers and estimates with respect to that activity run to the order of $100 million additional revenue a year that the state could realize. Now, I've stepped forward and I've made a specific proposal relevant to this that would help working families. Specifically, it's absolutely imperative that we reinvest in education in this Commonwealth. Governor Corbett has severely cut not only K through 12 education, a $1 billion cut, but also has dramatically cut our public colleges and universities and the assistance to working families to afford that tuition. I've proposed a modernization of the state stores in order to fund an initiative to make college affordable, and specifically have proposed a middle-income grant program and a Dream Scholarship program that modernization would support.
Olson Shores.
Yes, I would not sell off our liquor stores. I would instead modernize them. And a couple of ideas that have been put out there that I could support readily. I do think it's crazy that you can't buy a six-pack of beer in Pennsylvania easily. Other people share that concern, I think, but that you shouldn't have to go into a bar or tavern to do that. You should be able to buy a six-pack of beer at a beer distributor. Why not do that? Let's do that. I do think that some of the innovations that are already in place where you have a state liquor store inside a supermarket, or in fact in Philadelphia there's even one inside a restaurant, actually works. It is carefully controlled but convenient. So I think that works. I think it should be fine to be able to buy wine from a winery and to be able, if you're lucky enough to go to Napa Valley, you know, send a case back. Lucky you. I think that should be done. But this is not a time for us to be cutting decent-paying jobs to really diminish the really good job that our liquor stores do in controlling sale of liquor. I think that works pretty well. But there are things we could do to make sure that it is convenient and safe. One other point I would make, because we're sitting here in Philadelphia, a lot of work has gone into really closing stop-and-goes. If you know what they mean, then you know what the problem was. This is readily available, beer mostly, but on our corner stores. And they were really disruptive in our neighborhoods, not a good thing to do. And really, I don't want to go backwards. And this governor has made liquor privatization the top priority. While people are concerned about it, they'd much rather us be talking about funding our schools, investing in economic growth, dealing with the energy opportunities in Marsalis Shale, then really, it would not be my top priority, but I'm really fine with modernizing it.
Tom Wolf.
Okay, I'm new at this, but are we allowed to say that we go into stores looking for six packs of beer? Is that okay to say?
No,
we can't say. Okay. I'm against privatization. I think that's wrong. When I was Secretary of Revenue, actually the lottery was and is in the Revenue Department, and I had no problem approaching that in a way of trying to improve it, making it better, broadening the distribution of the sale of lottery tickets with the end in mind of making more money for the state, in that case for senior citizens. And I think the same thing's true of the liquor stores. We should not privatize it, but as a number of people said, we can do things to make it better, make it more profitable, and produce more income, more revenue for the state of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. There are things we can do to make it better. There are things we can do to absolutely increase the revenues coming to the state, and I think we ought to look at all of those things. Many of the things have been mentioned, but privatization is not the means to that better end.
John Hanger.
I'm opposed to privatization of the liquor stores. It's essentially a short-run sugar rush and a long-term hangover, at least in terms of revenues. It does create a huge hole. Obviously, I'm also opposed because I don't apologize for wanting to defend good-paying jobs, union good-paying jobs. There are over 6,000 union good-paying jobs, and I'm glad to defend those. Pennsylvania needs more good-paying jobs and, frankly, more union jobs. I certainly do support the reforms to increase convenience, package allowing purchases of six packs and the locations and buying wine by mail. All of that is good common sense stuff. But let's also remember why Tom Corbett has a lousy job creation record. He believes in all of these conservative myths, and one of them is privatization. He's not just trying to privatize the liquor stores, which would actually probably destroy good-paying jobs. He's trying to privatize the lottery, and very frankly, he's trying to privatize public education. It's not an accident that we've gone from creating 87,000 jobs in the last year of the Rendell administration to 18,000 jobs in the third year of the Corbyn administration. My platform is a complete reversal. I'm a proud progressive, and this is an example of why I am a proud progressive.